Hello, well, here's another podcast by Better Off Out. My name is Rupert Matthews. I'm the National Campaign Manager. You can find Better Off Out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And of course, we've got our own website at www.betteroffout.net. We welcome all Brexiteers to come and join us. We've got a wide range of campaigning materials and activities available. So come to our website, check us out. You can drop me a line as well if you like. Rupert Matthews, I'm on Rupert@tfa.net. That's Rupert@tfa.net. Meanwhile, have a listen to this podcast. It starts off up in Durham, where I meet a lady called Pam, who talks to us about the importance of Eurosceptics sticking together and working together during the referendum campaign. Quite right too, as far as I'm concerned. Also, while I was in Durham, I actually took the opportunity to go and look at the Magna Carta that they've kept in the cathedral there. It's one of the very few original copies of Magna Carta that's still around. And of course, it tells us an enormous amount, not only about medieval England, but about the rights and the duties of freeborn Englishmen, rights and duties that sadly the European Union is trampling underfoot. After that, we move on to a speech by the excellent Philip Hollobone. He's the Conservative Member of Parliament for Kettering in Northamptonshire. He's also joined the new GO organisation, that's Grassroots Out. And we listen to what he's got to say on the subject of Brexit. An absolutely cracking speech it is too, if you ask me. Anyway, there you go. Hope you enjoy it. Right, well, we start in Durham. I was up here for the launch of the Better Off Out campaign up in the northeast of England. I bumped into a lady called Pam, who's from Redcar, and she was talking about the importance of Eurosceptics sticking together and working together during the referendum campaign and how essential that's going to be for our success. Absolutely right, if you ask me. But anyway, you don't need to take my word for it. Let's listen to what Pam from Redcar's got to say. Right, we're here on Cathedral Green in Durham to launch the Better Off Out campaign in the northeast of England. This is Pam from Redcar. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yeah.
Can you tell us why you've come along to join us today?
I'm happy to be here to support the Better Off Out campaign. I am in UKIP, the Redcar branch, but we should all be working together. All of the people who want to see us out of Europe should be, not Europe, but the EU.
Indeed.
Should be working together to gain that goal, because we might only have this one chance for the referendum.
Yeah.
And we've all got to put aside our political differences and say, we want to come out.
Right, right. Well, I couldn't agree more. Like I say, we're here for the launch of Better Off Out campaign. We're going to be doing a lot of activities, leaflets, street stalls, all that sort of stuff. Are you going to be in them for that?
Oh, yes.
Fantastic. That's actually great news. And if anyone else wants to come and join the campaign, you can sign up on our website, betteroffout.net. So thanks, Pam. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
Let's get out with the leaflets.
Thank you.
Also in Durham, I went to have a look at the copy of Magna Carta that they keep in the cathedral there. I'm a bit of a history nut myself, absolutely adore the subject. Anyway, while I was looking at Magna Carta and some of the other things there, it struck me that one of the fundamental freedoms of all freeborn Englishmen, and has been for over 1,000 years, is what was then known in Latin as habeas corpus. What this basically means is that nobody can be falsely in prison. You can't be put in prison by the authorities without first having been tried by your peers. Now, this is something that we English have enjoyed for over 1,000 years, and rather sadly, it's one of those things the European Union has very quietly got rid of. It's not alone, there are other things going on, but anyway, while I was there, I thought I'd do a little bit about Magna Carta.
Well, here we are on Durham Cathedral Green. The cathedral's just a few yards in that direction, and of course kept in Durham Cathedral is one of the original copies of Magna Carta. One of the key features of Magna Carta are the clauses about what's known as habeas corpus. It's a pretty basic legal fundamental right of the English people, and actually goes back before Magna Carta, that people cannot be imprisoned without a fair trial and by judgment of their peers. That's something that's been a feature of English law since about the 9th century, so well over 1,000 years, and it's been restated time and time again, Magna Carta being one of the most obvious examples. But now, habeas corpus actually has very quietly been scrapped, and it's been scrapped by the European Union. No longer does a freeborn Englishman, to use the language of Magna Carta, have the protection of law that he cannot be put in prison without a just trial. Using European Union law, a magistrate in Romania or in Bulgaria or Poland can issue what is known as a European arrest warrant, and the authorities in this country have no option. The police have to arrest that person and send them out to Bulgaria or Poland or wherever the arrest warrant was introduced, without any guarantee that the trial will be speedy, without any guarantee the trial will be fair, and crucially, without any evidence having been presented that the person actually has got any case to answer. So one of the most ancient fundamental liberties of the British people has recently been destroyed by the European Union to the detriment of everyone. And to my mind, that's yet another reason why we must vote to leave the European Union and regain the human rights that we were always taking for granted.
And finally for this broadcast, we take you over to a place called Iver, which is in Buckinghamshire. I was there for a public meeting and I recorded the speech that was given by Philip Hollabone. Now, he's a Conservative Member of Parliament for Kettering. He's always been a bit of a pain to the Conservative whips on the subject of Europe, it has to be said. And as you can understand, he's something of a hero of mine. Now, this is an absolutely magnificent speech. Philip Hollabone covers a wide range of subjects in this. I'm not going to even bother trying to give you a resume. Just listen to it for yourself. It's a fantastic speech by a great Member of Parliament.
So, Philip Hollabone is the Conservative MP for Kettering in Northamptonshire and has been since 2005. He's also, he combines being an MP with being a councillor. He served in the Territorial Army and has also been a special constable. Before coming into politics, he was an investment analyst specialising in energy companies. Now, he has one of the best speaking and voting records in Parliament, and he is an independently minded MP, and is not afraid to test the whip's office. He's also a very frugal MP and claims very low expenses. In fact, he's one of the lowest expenses claimers in Parliament. And he's just told me he employs no staff at all, which relieves him of any HR responsibilities.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for your very warm round of applause. Thank you for giving up your Friday evening to be here. And what a magnificent village hall in the Christmas spirit. Rupert's wearing his Christmas tie and we're all going to have a very festive season. But I do appreciate you coming out this evening because this is an important moment for our country and we're not going to get another chance. So for those of us who want to leave the European Union, this is it. This is the one and only chance we're going to have. So we're going to have to make sure that it's right. And I'm very privileged to have been asked to be here with you this evening. What a glamorous and sophisticated lot you are. We have people come all the way from Billericay and Basildon in Essex to be with us this evening. So that's real dedication. And I'm sure there'll be some very, very pertinent questions at the end. The difficult ones Stephen has volunteered to answer, and I will try and do the rest. I'm afraid I can't claim to have been at school with the Gallagher brothers. I can claim to have been at school with Nigel Farage, however. And before either of us got involved in politics, we were at school together in South London. This is a very important moment for our country. I'm going to ask how many of you were lucky enough to be able to vote in the referendum in 1975? Hands up. That's splendid. And hands up all of us who weren't able to vote in the referendum in 75. I mean, the good thing is that for those of us who didn't get the chance to vote in 75, we're going to get the chance within the next 2 years. For those of you who already have voted, you'll get a second chance. But that's probably going to be it. So we've, for those of us who want to leave, we've really got to make sure that we win this campaign. And someone asked me, well, can we really win this? Yes, we can. And they said to me, very good question, well, how are we going to win it? And I said, well, it's the strength of our arguments, because the argument for leaving is overwhelmingly powerful. We just have to articulate it in simple language and explain it to as many people as possible. Now, those of you who voted in the referendum, I shan't embarrass anyone by asking which way you might have voted in 75, but even if you voted...
Why not?
Even if you voted to go in, it wasn't the European Union you were voting to stay in, it was the common market. That's what everybody described it as at the time, and that's what everybody understood it to be. And I don't think there'll be anyone in this room who disagree with the advantages of us being in a common market. That's what everyone, well, it was one individual, two. Most of us would like to be in a common market. I think most of the country would want to be, with some distinguished exceptions. But what we don't want to be is part of a European superstate. And one of the key things that we've got to get across in this referendum is that our relationship with Europe is going to change whether we stay in or whether we leave. Because if we stay in the European Union that we stay in is only going to get worse. If we vote to leave, our relationship, of course, will change fundamentally. So there is going to be change in any event. And just as in 1975, when majority of the country voted to stay in, no one could have imagined, or very few could have imagined, what our relationship would be with Europe like now, with all the problems over the financial crises, the trade imbalance, the refugee problem. The EU has mutated over that period of time, so it will mutate over the next 40 years. And if we don't take this chance to leave, we are going to be wrapped up in that in its entirety. Now, in the 1970s, before this village hall was built in its present form, Britain had a huge crisis of confidence in the world. We were the sick man of Europe. We had gone through one economic crisis after another. We were uncertain about our place in the world. Our empire had been lost. Whilst we'd saved the world in 1940, we then lost our empire, and we were uncertain which direction our country was going to go. And in a huge crisis of confidence, we decided to tie ourselves to the continent of Europe through the common market. That was fundamentally, I believe, a big mistake, because the European vision wasn't actually our vision. The European vision was the creation of a state called Europe, and that is something that we were never properly told about in 72 or 75. And the British people don't want to be part of a state. We don't want peoples from other countries determining what taxes we pay. We don't want people from other countries determining who we can let into this country and who we can't. We don't want unelected bureaucrats from another nation saying what should be legal or illegal in this country. We don't want the British Supreme Court to be overruled by the European courts. We are a proud nation. We're proud of our sovereignty. Magna Carta was around before most European states were even thought of. Human rights existed in this country long before the European Convention on Human Rights. And by the way, it was this country, standing alone in 1940, that saved human rights for the whole of Europe when every other state buckled under. So we have a proud record. And there, that crisis of confidence in the early 70s has been a catastrophe for our nation. We now have a golden chance to unravel that. Now, in the early 70s, the European Union as it now is, then had 40% of world trade. It was a major part of the global economy. 40%, 40% of world trade. By 2020, that's going to be 20%. So Europe's share of world trade is going to have halved over the lifetime of our membership. So the influence of Europe in the world has diminished. And we took that decision in the 70s to attach ourselves to an economic bloc that was going the wrong way. And now, as we approach the second half of the second decade in the 21st century, all those countries that we effectively abandoned in the 70s are now the emerging economic powerhouses of the modern world. China, India, Australia, Canada, the United States, Brazil. These are where future growth is going to come from. And yet, as a member of the European Union, we are not allowed to negotiate free trade arrangements with these booming economies around the world. We have attached ourselves to the wrong horse. If we left the European Union, we would get back our own seat on the World Trade Organization, so we could vote in our own interests and we could negotiate free trade agreements with these other countries. The European Union does not have a free trade agreement with China. It does not have a free trade agreement with India. It does not have a free trade agreement with the United States. Switzerland does. Iceland does. These small nations have negotiated for themselves better deals than we've got because the EU hasn't done it. So by being tied to the EU, our economy is being shackled because the EU hasn't gone out into the wider world. It's an inward-looking organisation from which we need to break free. The second thing, and I think one of the, perhaps the most important thing in this campaign, is immigration. I don't know how many times I've been called racist for daring to raise the concerns of my constituents about immigration. It wasn't so long ago, you couldn't even mention the word immigration without immediately being called racist. But because we now have so much white immigration from Eastern Europe, at least now we've got a chance to talk about it. And I don't want to mislead anyone. I don't think anyone is actually advocating zero immigration. But we want to control immigration. It's not a question of pulling up the drawbridge. It's a question of deciding who comes over the drawbridge. And at the moment, we have absolutely no control at all over unskilled labourers coming to this nation from Eastern Europe. But we don't have space to recruit the highly talented, highly intelligent, highly skilled people from the rest of the world who we need in this country to make the economy such a success. And this is why one of the surprising things about this referendum is how much support we're going to get from the Asian community, for example, in this country, who know that their talented family members from India and other countries around the world aren't able to come to this country to contribute to our economy, whereas we have no way at all of controlling those unskilled migrants who come to this country from Romania, Bulgaria, and elsewhere. If we were our own independent sovereign nation again outside of the European Union, we could decide how many people to allow into this country, whether it be zero or just those who have the requisite skills. At the moment, we have no say over that. We're getting some ridiculous arguments from those who want Britain to stay in the European Union that we need to be in the EU in order to combat threats to global security and terrorism. What absolute rubbish. The European Union, by failing to control its external border with Turkey, has given the continent of Europe the biggest threat to its security in recent years, because the EU does not control its external border. And it hasn't been the EU that has kept the peace around the world. It has been our membership of NATO, which was in existence long before the EU was even thought of. Another advantage of leaving is that we could at last get back control over our fishing industry, perhaps one of the greatest scandals of our membership of the European Union. British fish being fished by EU trawlers has been an absolute scandal, and coastal communities around our nation have been devastated by the impact of this policy. And if we voted to leave, we could negotiate to get back control over our fishing grounds. And we could also stop subsidising EU farmers. And we could spend the money on our own farmers producing our own stuff in this country. And of course, the cost of our membership is going up all the time. The last 5 years of the Labour government, 2005 to 2010, we paid £19 billion over that five-year period as our membership fee. The first, well, the 5 years of the coalition government, that bill went up to £41 billion. And we're now paying north of £12 billion a year as our membership subscription. Just think what you could do with £12 billion a year. People are crying out for more investment in the National Health Service. The present government has promised £10 billion injection over a five-year period. We're talking about saving £12 billion a year. That could radically transform our health service, give the police the boost that they need. We could commit to more spending on our defence forces, or we could pay down the deficit more quickly. So there are real advantages from not being a member of the European Union. Now is our chance, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that our voice is heard. We're not going to get another opportunity, and we need to explain to every adult voter in this country that it's now or never. If we stay in the European Union, we're going to have even more control from the European Union of what we can and we can't do. We will lose even more control over our borders. We'll lose even more control over our own internal taxation arrangements. We're going to begin to lose control of our armed forces, and increasingly we will become part of a European state from which we'll never be able to escape. If we now break free and go back to our proud history of an independent trading nation, which suited us very well for the best part of 1,000 years, we could then re-establish our trading relationships with the booming economies around the world. And then Britain really would be able to demonstrate to everyone else that we'd be better off out of the European Union.